I know the calendar probably doesn't say it, but this week really is the beginning of a new year. I mean, for me, it's my first Sunday in the pulpit after weeks away and missing you. And for some of you, tomorrow starts what?
School.
School, yeah. How many people go into a new school? How many people are starting a new grade? How many of you are starting your last year of school, getting ready to graduate? Yeah. You got everything you need, right? You're all ready? Because you guys are about to launch yourselves into a new adventure. And new things are really exciting, right? They're really exciting, right? Yeah. But they're also a little scary. Now, school could be a memory for some of you all, and you still sometimes feel that way. Just like her. Maybe you just moved. And there you are, unpacking and settling in. Maybe you came from very far away, and here you are, right here, right now, with a place to live, and it's time to find a job. Or maybe you came here because you've got the perfect job, and now it's time to find a place to live, and folks to hang out with, and the best burrito in town. And all that is so exciting. You're glad to go to sleep each night because you're just a little bit exhausted. Not your story? You mean you've been doing the same job for years? Living in the same house for years? Okay. But come on, guys, be honest. Sometimes you know, too, that life demands that you do the same old thing in a completely different way. And that in itself can be kind of exciting. Or unnerving. Or compelling. If you feel like you're just not sure you can. If you're not sure that you can get from where you are to where you want to be. Sometimes it's hard things or sad things that launch us into a new adventure. And sometimes it takes a little bit of work to believe that we can actually get past that scary, scary thing and find ourselves in a new place or a new year or a new time. Well, you can. You can get there with just a little faith. Now, by faith here, I don't mean fancy theological propositions. I mean something deeper, something essential, something that is never, ever quite captured in words. It's sort of a yes whispered in your soul, a yes that's as close to you as your own heartbeat, a yes the kind you can't hold back when you're really happy. You know, when you wake up and you're raring to go and you're just so delighted that it's as if sunbeams are coming out of your fingers and from the ends of your hair, and it's so strong you don't even notice that it's pouring raining out. Or it's the yes that babies feel when they're cuddled in mom or dad's arms and they fall asleep, no matter how topsy-turvy the world seems to be. Or it's the yes that's in your shoulders at the end of a long, hard day when you finally make it home. A yes that comes at the end of tears, that comes when kindness meets hurt. Maybe it's the face of a friend, the touch of your mom or dad, the kiss of your grandparent. And in that moment, you remember you're not alone, that there's care. And something inside you goes, okay, I wish I didn't have to do this, but it's going to be all right. It might be hard, but it's going to be all right. I'll do it. I'll get through. Faith is that feeling. And it's the place we stand when nothing around us seems solid. And we here are a faith community. Not because we all stand in the same place. We don't. Our lives, our thoughts, our dreams are all our own, unique to us, and therefore very different from everyone else's. But we're a faith community because we've promised each other to honor and nurture that faith we hold in our hearts, that yes inside, that each of us is longing to live out. Now, we may start from different places, and we certainly arrive at different conclusions. But we are a faith tradition because we UUs in this room and across the planet share a way of growing that faith. Now, one way we talk about this is by teaching you all the seven principles. This is the seven principles as it's taught in Sunday school. But when I was back in Sunday school, they hadn't been written yet. So instead, we learned the five smooth stones of James Luther Adams. Now, James Luther Adams was, as the UUA website says, a Unitarian parish minister, a social activist, a journal editor, a distinguished scholar, a translator and editor of major German theologians, a prolific author, and a divinity school professor for more than 40 years. And he sounded just like it. He wrote down his five smooth stones in an essay called Guiding Principles for a Free Faith. And in my coming of age year in Sunday school, we read it all year. It's 20 pages long, all year. So it needs a little bit of translation. His first principle, in his words, is this. Religious liberalism depends on the principle that revelation is continuous. Translation. Revelation is not sealed. New truths are being discovered. There is always more to learn. And we here are here to help each other keep on learning. Smooth stone two. All relations between persons ought ideally to rest on mutual free consent and not coercion. Translation. No one is an island. No one is alone. We come into being and grow to who we are through relationships with others, and those relationships should be free and fair, built of respect and care and understanding. One word for that is love. And we are here in this congregation to help each other get just a little bit better at loving the people close to us and figuring out how to love even a little the ones who make us really nuts. Smooth stone three. Religious liberalism affirms the moral obligation to direct one's effort towards the establishment of a just and loving community. It is this which makes the role of the prophet central and indispensable in liberalism. Translation. Because we each know what fairness looks and feels like, we are obligated to seek justice, to do what we can to make it fair for everyone. Give because you can. Share because it makes a difference. We're here to help each other make this world a better place. Smooth stone four. We deny the immaculate conception of virtue and affirm the necessity of social incarnation. Translation: good isn't a thing all by itself, and good things don't just happen or fall out of the sky. People make them happen. We're here to work together. We're here to help each other bring out our best, the best in each other and the best in life. And when we work together, there is more beauty, more justice, more comfort, and more joy. And the last one, liberalism holds that the resources, both divine and human, that are available for the achievement of meaningful change justify an attitude of ultimate optimism. Translation: you can do this one yourself. Look around at the world. Look around at the incredible resources there are. Imagine the path of the cosmos from that Big Bang to right here, right now, where you're sitting. Imagine this universe of atoms and plants, of beings that fly and crawl and swim and walk, this world of sunlight and stars and mind. And to that imagination, then add all the creativity of humankind through its ages. Think of all we have accomplished. No matter how daunting the challenge, no matter how scary it was, we've done good. And there is reason to hope. You see, for James Luther Adams, whatever happens in life, if a person, a people, can keep on learning, grow more able to love, find ways to give, help each other out, and stay fired up with hope, well, even if they get dunked, they won't wipe out. Even if you're caught between an iceberg and a rising wave, a path will be found. A path that makes all the difference. A path that says yes to what is true. Yes to what is good. Yes to what is right. Yes to the best of yourself. Yes to each other. And we are not. None of us are ever on that path alone. We're UUs. We're here at the beginning of a new year to say yes. James Luther Adams explained Unitarian Universalism with those five principles: learning, loving, giving, working together, and being fired up with hope, which he called five smooth stones after the story of David and Goliath. Now, that's a story that some of you remember, I hope, and some of you may not know. It's in the Bible. And there was a time when the people were at war, and their opponent was so huge, so daunting, such a giant, that none of the warriors would fight him, except for David. Now, David wasn't even a soldier. In fact, David was just a boy. He was too young and too small to pick up a shield or hold up the weapons that the grown-ups used. But David said, "I can do it." And he took five smooth stones from a riverbed and stood up against Goliath and knocked him down. Adams used that story to remind people that no matter how big whatever it was you were facing, no matter how small you yourself felt you were, a way could be found. Sometimes it would take courage, like the courage of that boy who thought he could do the unexpected and then just stepped up and got it done. And sometimes the way takes a lot longer than you think to find. Sometimes it takes more than one person. But those five smooth stones are a reminder that our liberal faith, no thought is unthinkable, and no good is ever finally impossible. No giant is that big after all. And today, we are going to celebrate one proof that Adams was right. Because this morning, we dedicate our labyrinth. Now, the idea for this labyrinth has been around this community for a long, long time. I mean, I know people were already talking about it before I came here as minister, which is before many of you were even born. Back then, some would mention it. Yeah, that sounds possible, someone else would say. Oh yeah, that might be nice someday. It took lots of conversations like that, over lots of years, before folks started to see it. And then a few years more before they even got it. But then, not very long ago, it took hold. A committee formed, lots of folks contributed money to match the seed grant that the endowment committee gave, and people started showing up. They showed up to even the ground, to put in the pavers, to get it all done. And some of you have even walked the labyrinth already. In Sunday school, you learned how to walk it slowly and respectfully, to find your pace, to take the time to feel and listen to the ground under your feet, to feel the sun on the top of your head, the breeze touching your hair. Maybe when you walked it, you watched your thoughts as you made your way to the center, and then just stood still before you circled your way back. Our labyrinth is a place of quiet and contemplation, a place where each of us can follow our own thoughts, a path that is open to each of us so that we can find our still spot in a turning world. And walking it once in a while or every week is a discipline, a way of nurturing that inward journey, a developing mindfulness of finding your own place to stand. But our labyrinth is out in front of our property as an invitation to the world. It's our gift to our neighbors, to strangers we have yet to meet. It's out front to say, yeah, you're welcome here. This path is open to you, will always be open to you, even if it takes you years to make it inside the building. Come, use it well, find your place in this universe of stars and light and mind. And in a very few minutes, we are going to dedicate the labyrinth and bless its place. In doing this, we celebrate all the people over all the years who had a part in making it for us today. And we open it as another worship space, like this sanctuary, a place where the mind can rest, the heart can be healed, the spirit, the soul can be nurtured. But more than that, we dedicate ourselves to all that this labyrinth will come to mean. For the earth itself is sacred. The sun, the wind, the grass doesn't need our blessing. It needs our care. It needs us to pay attention, to walk lovingly upon it, to remember that it is a holy place.